So you're going for election again?
Yeah, yeah, kind of. It's the Shannon.
Right, okay, but it's still an election, yeah?
Yeah.
Right, you're going to go out there again and you're going to go door to door, meeting people, house to house, getting votes, yeah?
No, you crazy?
Oh, right, yeah, because of the whole COVID thing.
No, actually.
Well, how are you going to get your message out there?
I don't have to bother at all. It's a Shannon election. Not everyone has a vote.
Oh, the Shannon. Yeah, yeah, because that's where only snobby university people get to vote.
Not even university graduates get to vote in this one.
Huh?
They would if this was a university panel, but I'm running on the industrial and commercial panel.
I see.
The Shannon is organised to be representative of our society, so people run for different panels, whether it's agriculture or universities or labour.
Labour, yeah, yeah, because that worked out really well for you last time.
Yes, well, I'm running on the industrial and commercial panel, and that's designed to give a voice to people who work in business or run companies.
So yeah, you did B&L, yeah, you're an employment lawyer, I get it, right? So it's just business people and industry people who get to vote here?
No.
Okay, so just the unions or the employment bodies or...
No.
The IMF?
No.
George Soros?
George does control my mind and fund everything I do, but not even he gets a vote in this one. The only people who get to vote in this are already elected politicians.
So just councillors, TDs and senators?
Not even county councillors.
What?
Only 218 people get to vote in this national election.
Okay, so you just got to get into Leinster House and then convince all the political hacks to vote for you.
Well, I would, but I'm barred from the premises. You know, COVID.
Right, okay, well, at least you got the Labour votes all wrapped up. I mean, that's got to be a big number. How much is that?
11. We have 11 votes.
Well, best of luck with that anyway.
Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves, and today we are talking about the fabulous and actually it has become fabulous and entertaining. The Shannon by-election is taking place, and you mightn't have cared, you mightn't have given a damn, but I tell you, people started to sit up and pay attention the last 24 hours for some reason. Martin, did you even understand that there was a by-election happening?
I do, but as one of those people who doesn't get a vote in Shannon elections, it's kind of remote. But I enjoy the sport of it. Of course I enjoy the sport of it, but it's like watching a football match that you're never going to play in. So, you know, it's okay. It's all right. I like the sport and the entertainment.
But
it breaks up the monotony.
You know, Shannon comes from the Latin senex, which means old man, I think, Martin. So surely it would be more your style, no?
Yeah, this with the ages the whole time. Listen, Sonny.
just two things I want to say, because one I'm going to get in trouble for, and it's actually... tomorrow is Bear Grogan's birthday, and she's been a fabulous supporter of us, and she's been one of the best people, keeps me in line, keeps us in line, and pushes things on. I do want to wish her a happy birthday on air, so I've never done something like that before.
But, absolutely. Bear brought me cigarettes in hospital when I was desperate for cigarettes, so thanks, Bear, and happy birthday to you.
And the second thing is tomorrow evening is the first, on Friday evening, is the first ever live podcast for the Conversate Trans crew, the Starlings Collective. And if you are around, if you're seeing this, click on the link, register, come along. Promises to be great crack. They're doing great work and very proud to play a tiny part in bringing that podcast out to the public. Go along. It promises to be a good evening. Anyway, enough of that now. We are delighted to be rejoined by Shannon candidate in the industrial and commercial panel for Labour, Kieran Ahern. Kieran, how are you keeping?
I'm keeping very well, Tony. Thanks to you and Martin for having me on. Delighted to be here.
No, well, we've spoken a few times but the last time we kind of really was, you were in you were about to get married, and then you were about to run as a candidate for Labour. How did that all go through, and how can we just process that? Give us your 2-minute summation of how all that flew through for you.
Yeah, well, it was a whirlwind. The general election campaign, the most intense, most interesting, beneficial thing I've ever done in my life. And an absolute privilege to run in a general election and put yourself before people. And people, when you go around door to door and ask people what their problems are and what they'd like to see changed, they open their hearts to you. It's utterly amazing, you know. And we were canvassing a lot during the day, And before everyone was just working from home, the only people you would meet at home were people who had a reason to be at home during the middle of the day, like people who were carers, you know, children living at home with their parents who couldn't afford to move out or were saving for a mortgage or whatever. You know, these were the type of people you were meeting, and they would really open their hearts to you. And it was great. I learned an incredible amount. It was incredibly stressful. I already had a lot of respect for politicians, but going through something like this and sticking with it, sticking with the campaign, it's grueling. You can't win. I have to say, I enjoyed almost every minute of it. 99% of the people you meet in person, at least, are lovely to you. And it's quite funny. It's kind of an Irish thing where you'd have maybe your canvassers would be going ahead with you, going ahead to a house, and you'd hear someone on the door effing and blind, and so Labour Party never known. And then I'd kind of run up the drive after them with the hand out to shake, and they'd be like, "Oh, Kieran, how are you? Oh, yeah, nice to see you. Oh, yeah, I'll definitely give you a vote." You know, so
you must have called to my house, Kieran.
but it was a really positive experience for me, and I hope I brought a little bit to the campaign as well. You know, we did some fun videos and brought a different spin to a few things.
It was a short window you had, and you had a lot of impact in that short window.
Three and a half weeks.
Yeah, and it was very successful in terms of you know, it was unorthodox, shall we say, you know, but when you think about that in the window of those 3.5 weeks, and then you look at it now and through the prism of the last 12 months, and you see, say, for example, viral videos, comedy videos that have become a 2-minute video you can do online, and this new genre of comedy, how it's become, we all live for the next thing that Big Dirty Fry is going to do. Or we
he liked, you know, my video today, Michael. Yeah. Fry liked my, I'm yeah. delighted now.
Yeah, so but like I, you know, I, the lads, Killian Sunderman and Darren Conway were up around the corner at the Autobahn doing a video the other day, and I'm going, I'm raging I didn't see them, you know. They're all these are so, and it was very successful in that regard. And you must have within the party, I'd imagine they thought, okay, this is different, but this is really, we've some good learnings here.
Yeah, I mean, the videos were a funny thing because we were really nervous about them at the start. And, you know, I was kind of canvassing a lot of people. And, you know, maybe, and so for instance, you know, people my parents' age, even my parents were sort of saying, "Oh, you know, should you be saying that? Is that a bit close? Are you sailing close a bit to the wind? Are we slagging off people here?" But I think the point was that we were self-aware that Labour was going into this election still with some legacy issues from our time in government, and with a lot of people still, and rightfully so, unhappy with some of the decisions that were made in government. And we were trying to just say, listen, yes, that's all fair, but look, we're trying something different here, and we're trying to move on. And you know, there's an element of hopefully redemption there as well, in terms of, you know, we've learned, and we're not gonna let those type of things happen again. That was the thing. But it was, I mean, I can't stress how nervous I was before releasing at least the first video. But then it took off, and people responded to it. And it's really, you know, a lot of politics is about communication and putting a bit of time into your message and trying to communicate in a different way just works, and it worked and continues to work, I think.
Do you think knocking on doors helps? I mean, I'm in two minds about knocking on doors. I think, does it really help in an election campaign? I'm not so sure.
I got the sense that people, it really hammers home the message. People would have said, "Oh, I saw your video," and now they've met you in the flesh. I think that's on some human level, I think it's really important for people to see you and say, "Oh, at least okay, I recognize him. I've seen him in the videos. He exists in the real world." Especially as a first-time candidate, maybe, or someone, you know, who wouldn't have had a profile prior to that. other than, you know, maybe in the, like, obviously I was involved in loads of stuff in the local community, but I mean, we were going way outside my local community and trying to see 120,000 people in 3.5 weeks, which is just...
It's a huge number of doors to knock on. And as you say, you can knock on a lot of doors and there's nobody home. I mean, there will be nobody home. So you're not really hitting a huge percentage, but the ones you are hitting, I presume you feel you're getting a vote or a number somewhere off the ones that you do hit.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's kind of hammering home the message. But it was, I mean, there were times when we were knocking on too many doors. I had too many canvassers out in inverted commas. It's always a good problem to have, but you know, I wasn't able to keep up with the number of doors that they were knocking on. I wasn't able to meet people. You know, I was kind of running. It's quite difficult. I really had brilliant conversations with people on the doors. But you know, you're looking at your watch.
Oh, I'd kill you if I was out canvassing with you. I'd kill you if you were having these in-depth conversations. I'd just be grabbing you by the scruff and putting you on the next doorstep.
And that's it. I'm like, my mother actually was very good at that. She was, and like, obviously there's an art as well to that in sort of trying to explain to someone, I hear you and what you're saying is really important, but you know, this is in a campaign and I have 3.5 weeks and we have to see another 1,000 people today. It's not always easy to do that. But
you've gone from that incredibly energetic, incredibly, I'm going to say, democratic and widespread, fought tooth and nail or fought on the doorsteps type of campaign to Shannon. You know, it's a little bit different.
It's very different. It's a really, really strange and I will say boring election. It's an extension of my work. I've been working at home for the last year. Thankfully, great to, you know, no problems there. Have the job. Everything's good. But all I do is sit at a desk all day sending emails and making calls and going on Zoom chats. And that's all this campaign is about. It's taken a lot of the joy out of it. I will say the general election campaign, I would give anything to be going out every night now, killing myself, canvassing with 20 other people and meeting as many people as possible. I would give anything to do that. It was incredibly sociable and enjoyable. And no, now I'm just at home at my desk.
Why did you decide that this was the next step and this was the opportunity that you would take? And obviously I know your background as an employment lawyer, so I know that the panel that you're running on obviously suits your professional outlook and that's all encouraging, but why do this in this circumstances?
Yeah, well, I suppose, look, I was asked by Alan Kelly and I was asked by the party to run in it. And I considered that. And it's a massive opportunity. It's a privilege. How many people get to run in Shannon elections? It's also a campaigning platform. And I'm not, my first dip in my toe into politics at all was running in a general election. I'm not an elected councillor. So it has been difficult over the last, you know, over the last 12 months to try and have a bit of a profile or how to, you know, talk on issues. I don't have that platform that even a councillor would have. So from that perspective, it's a really good opportunity. But it's also, I mean, I really like the idea. While I've kind of lampooned the Shannon voting process a little bit in a video today, I do think there's a really important place in our society for reformed Shannon. And I'd like to be a part of that. And I'd hope that even campaigning on it, you can maybe bring a little extra pressure to bear to reform something that was supposed to be reformed, I don't know, umpteen times over the years. There were referendums back at the end of the 70s to reform the Shannon. There are, you know, reports, even the latest report in I think it came out in 2015, that still hasn't been acted on. In fairness, I think the Greens are planning to, you know, or they had kind of said that they want to bring in Shannon reform in government. So
they won't be in there long enough.
No. They brought in reform last night, didn't they? They said no.
Enough said.
So how do you go about canvassing in a Shannon election? I mean, if you were on the finance panel, you'd have to be ringing people in the Cayman Islands. But on the panel you're on, how do you get in touch with people?
Well, you know, to explain to anyone who hasn't isn't up to speed on this, and a lot of people aren't. When I started running, when I announced my run for the Shannon, you know, my friends were sort of saying, "Yeah, great. How do I vote for you?" And I was like, "Well, you can't. You can't vote for me. You don't have a vote in this one." And so there are only, for a national, this is an election to our national parliament. Only 218 people get to decide on it, and that's the elected politicians. That's our TDs and senators. In other, that's purely for a by-election. When it's a normal Shannon election to one of the vocational panels, county councillors get a vote as well. So there's probably closer to 1,000 or to a little over 1,000 people able to vote in it. With this, 218 people. So, I mean, in ordinary times, non-COVID times, I would probably have liked to plant myself in Leinster House or Buzzwells and go for coffees with people and meet people, just hang around there and introduce myself to them. This is a remote election, so I'm at home. I've emailed each and every one of the members of the Oireachtas. I don't know how far that's gone, because only about 15 people have actually responded to my email, or their parliamentary assistants have responded to my email. But now I'm trying to text people. I'm trying to call. You know, it's a matter of cold calling all of these people. I'll be ringing up the Taoiseach trying to see if he wants to break his election pact. And, you know, that's the only way you can do it. It's so political. It's very hard to kind of shift the dial in terms of getting someone, because, you know, it's not a, people have said it to me, it's not a personal thing. It's, no, they don't have anything against me in as a person or as a candidate, but, you know, it's politics. And there's, you know, there are party strategic reasons why people are going to vote a certain way. Most people.
Sorry, Martin, the last time these were organized after the general election, and obviously, you know, We've had several senators only recently, Eileen Flynn on, and, you know, we've spoken to obviously Lynn Rowan and Alice Mary Higgins and the people who are doing some terrific work in the Shannon. So I don't want to negate the power of some people, that the work that they've done. But in terms of that, you know, running on, say, a university panel, and you need to be a graduate of X, you know, for Trinity or NUI. And so it is obviously, there are flaws. You've outlined them. It's absolutely not representative of the wider population. However, that doesn't negate some of the good work that's done, and that also calls into question why the lack of reform there's been many opportunities to reform it, and it's never really taken root. From your own point of view, do you see it as something that, like, if you when you're in there, obviously you're a member of the Labour Party, but what do you want to do in the Shannon? Because the people will say is it just an opportunity to say, well, this is a way of building my brand, maybe?
Well, look, I mean, you can look at it, absolutely, people will look at it that way, and absolutely that's one of the reasons I'm doing for it. I wouldn't be honest with you if I didn't acknowledge that, of course. But I also think I can bring a different perspective to things, a different way of communicating some of the issues and trying to reach, you know, I would like to sort of focus on issues that are important to younger people. That would be kind of, I still consider myself a younger person.
Younger than us. That's
well, yeah, a little bit. But, you know, I'd like to still think I'm on the right side of that.
You're actually a millennial, isn't that the truth?
Technically, I am a millennial. Thank you, Martin. So, you know, I just think one of the things I did pick up at the general election last year is that you know, young people just want to be able to aspire to the same quality of life that their parents had. And that shouldn't be a radical or a controversial statement, but, like, you know, you talk to our parents and things like that. My mom, a teacher, my dad, a youth worker, were able to both own their own homes by the age of 25 in Rathfarnham, you know, in a really nice area of Dublin, and had good, stable jobs. And so you meet people now, and that's where it starts. It starts at, like, decent, stable work with things like pensions. You know, there's this pensions crisis looming for younger people who, you know, an older generation, aside from having your defined benefit pension, which blows my mind that those type of things existed in a way, you know, the best you're going to get is a defined contribution now, if even, and probably just a PRSA. You know, so people had pensions. They also had houses to fall back on. And the younger generations coming through don't have that. So we need to get that back. And it starts with decent, stable jobs and good terms and conditions, and then affordable housing.
To agree with you, it does start with decent jobs, and that's exactly where it starts at. That's the root of it all, is a decent job gets you a decent house, gets you a decent car, gets you a decent life, and that's how it works.
I'd say electric bike, Martin, but that's okay.
Gone fast, electric bikes.
But no, there is a key point, and it's playing out across the globe, actually, in the West, as we would term it, that this is the first generation, 25 to 35, that is worse off than than the parents' generation at the same age in the same time. And it's just something where they almost want you to ignore the evidence of your own eyes and say, ah, yeah, but they have flexibility. Sure, don't, you know, they can do all, you know, there's all this action. Isn't it great? They can work when they want. It's like, no, that's not what work what you want. That's the gig economy, you know. So there are a lot of pressing issues like that. However, some of the things that actually happen, as I see it, some of the most successful people in the Shannon, what they do is they almost fact check some of the legislation that's coming through, and they bring that to bear. Your background as an employment lawyer, I'd imagine you feel that must be relevant to some of the stuff that you'd hope to be able to impact on in that area.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm supposed to have an eye for detail. I'm supposed to be a stickler as a lawyer. I hope I am. I'd enjoy the legislative, you know, I would enjoy that legislative detail and that side of things. I suppose I think the Shannon is also a space for creative thinking as well. And it's like a long form DAW where people get to really sort of think about the issues and debate the issues fully and properly rather than in sound bites. And yes, like they do sort of scrutinize, I think, to a better degree than the DAW at times. And I'd really enjoy that. Yeah.
I'd agree with you. I would agree. Some of the best people who have, look, there's been things caught in the Shannon that, you know, that would have sailed on through if we hadn't had people scrutinizing these issues. So I do agree with you on that. I'm also, that doesn't make me sound like, that makes me sound like I'm real pro Shannon. I'm pro the idea of the Shannon. I'm just not pro the structure of how it's composed. Kieran, last thing is, win or lose, you're pretty clear now. You've got the bug. Politics is now going to be something that you're doing, at least in the medium term.
Yeah, at least in the medium term. I did enjoy it. It's the most interesting job you could ever have, and the most impossible job you could ever have. There's no way. I mean, and you know, every political career ends in failure. You know, it's all well and good for me now as an up and coming candidate to say all these things, but ultimately, I would like to get in there and get my hands dirty. And once you start actually legislating and working with people, you're compromising, and it becomes really, really difficult. But I, you know, that's politics, and that's, you know, it's the art of the possible. It's not the art of necessarily just always having your own way.
I think that you know that all political careers eventually end in failure. I think once you know that, when you're getting into it, that it makes it a lot easier. It's that time comes for every politician.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, look, I'm very lucky to be in the position I am, where I've had these opportunities so early on, actually, in my political career. You know, I'm really, really lucky, and I don't discount that. But I do care deeply about the future of the country, and there are lots of things that I'd like to change. And you know, people do want to see the country organized differently. In terms of, environmentally, in terms of how we treat survivors of historic abuse, and in terms of things like just how we run our health system. You know, people aren't going to accept a two-tier health system when we come out of this. And people's priorities are changing. People want better work-life balances, and we have to facilitate that. We have to make that happen.
Well, best of luck with your campaign, Kieran, and thanks for coming on here and having this chat with us this morning. We'll follow with interest and see how it goes.
I have to just say, this afternoon, everybody, Martin, he's only out of bed, you see. You've outed yourself again. It's this afternoon, Martin. It's not this morning. I'm glad we had the conversation. I do think people need to understand it. It's great to have that, at least, Pete, that educational piece about the Shannon and understanding and why, how it's run and what it's run and how difficult it is. In a closed shop in many of these respects. And I just want to add one thing to what both of you have said, that all careers end in failure. Yeah, that's one of, I've often heard, but there's also a phrase, and once you accept that, that's why there's hope. So I would always add that at the end of that. Look, thanks so much, Kieran. Best of luck with it. And we will be watching with interest as things go on.
Great. Thanks for having me on, guys. And best of luck with the rest of the pods.
Thanks, guys. Big fan. Again, quick reminder, guys, patreon.com/tortoiseshack. Please, it's the price of a cup of coffee. It's the price of a decent, one of those nice IPA beers that you probably want for Friday evening. Just throw that our way. It makes all the difference to us. It really does. Thanks
for that
much.
Cheer, Tony.
Yeah. It blew wicked. We're out.
Tony and Martin. Martin and Tony. Speaking to interesting people. It's the Echo Chamber Podcast. Subscribe now on Patreon.